Hi everyone, this is Amy and welcome back to week 4 of the Self-Love Adventure. And today we're going to talk about defining self-love for you. What does it mean to love yourself? It doesn't mean life is perfect. It doesn't mean nothing ever goes wrong. It's more of a mindset, an underlying feeling that you have confidence in yourself, belief that you'll get through it, that everything will work out eventually, and that you're strong enough and resilient enough to handle it. But it's a little different for everybody, so we're going to get into some details. The questions in the workbook can help you with that, and we'll go through those, and then we'll discuss how we can do some tapping on our resistance to really living our life like that, because it's going to be strange for a lot of people. Before we get started into the week 4 material, I wanted to answer a question and also bring up a really good point that one of our participants shared in an email that was awesome. First of all, her question is there a magic order to the classes? Is the sequence that I've put the classes in magic? I wish it were magic. It is not magic. However, I did put them in this order on purpose. And the reason I put them in this order is because if I moved, I put a lot of thought into this and figuring out my experiences with clients and what they're ready for and when they're ready for it. So, for example, today, getting our definition of self-love, I did not put that at the beginning. You might think that would be at the beginning because you want to define all your terms before you move on in, but the reason I put it on week 4 is because when you still have a lot of anxiety and attachment to our bad qualities and to not believing that we have good qualities, it's really hard to picture what a life with self-love could be. Now, it doesn't mean that you've already tapped away everything and you're perfectly able to now have this crystal clear picture. It just means you have a lot more space to be able to create this picture for yourself now than you would have at the beginning of the course. So each class kit is really a standalone class, and it can be done in itself. And the order is not, like, you're not going to explode if you do it in the wrong order. It's just that it does lead you through a natural progression. But I highly encourage everyone, when the class is finished as a group, that you go back and do the lessons again and then take as much time as you need on each lesson. So, for example, the person asked this question, she has a lot to clear on accepting her good. That's one of a big challenge for her. So she feels she needs more time, and that's cool. And so that's definitely one she's going to want to revisit. And like I said, with any of these, you're going to uncover layers as you remove the, we'll call it the obvious layer first, then you're going to find layers of judgment and unacceptance and resistance below that. So it's an ongoing process. But like we've noticed when we do the tapping, you know, if you have a list of emotions and they're all at an 8, we can tap on one of the emotions and it brings down the intensity of the other emotions. So it's the same thing that as you're tapping each layer, it will reduce the layers underneath so that you don't have that really strong, powerful emotions usually after you get through the first round. So it does get easier, I should say, but there is going to be more. I wish I could say that you would be you would have completely let go of all your beliefs and blocks about yourself in 6 weeks, but I can't. It doesn't happen. I would be super shocked if it did. So this is an ongoing process, but this gives you a lot of direction and structure on how to go. So if you're falling behind and you can just jump in when you can, that's great. If you can keep up, if your question is, should I wait and do 2 weeks on this one and then get behind and then play catch up, or should I do 2 weeks and then skip ahead to 5 and come back to 4 later? I would mostly recommend that you keep up with the class so that you can ask any questions about that and then go back and revisit them. That's what I would recommend. However, I know that's not possible for everybody, and you may not be able to be on the call live anyway to ask questions. Now, keep in mind, you know, this isn't the last you've ever heard of me. Once we're done here, it's not like we're never going to talk to each other again. So you will have the ability to ask questions. I know many of you are also enrolled in the ongoing coaching monthly class, and there's definitely I can answer questions during that time as well. And that's a great time to really, as you get deeper and deeper into the material, is to ask questions and get help with tapping once you get into those deep layers. So that's my answer on the magic order for the classes, if that was really actually an answer. And then what I wanted to share with you was she's a scientist, the woman who wrote this, and so she really likes to break down the order of things and put things into categories. And sometimes that helps other people too. So what she noticed in a pattern for her is when she's looking at things that she feels good about, she has resistance in about four different areas. So one of them is that she's good at it but not good enough. Okay, so we kind of talked about that one. We hold the standard of perfection, and unless we're that good, then we don't really want to acknowledge we're good because we could be better. Or we're not good enough to do X. So I'm a good dancer, but I'm never going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Okay, so does that mean I can't appreciate being a good dancer? Or does it mean I shouldn't appreciate it at all because I'm not good enough yet? So that's one category. The second category she wrote down was that wanting to be good at something and knowing that she's doing her best but still feeling that she's bad at it. So I would actually put this in the category of accepting you're bad, because if you still don't feel that you're very good at it, even if you're trying your hardest, I think that that's more of an acceptance of not having a quality that you wish you had. So, for example, I am not a good singer, okay? So I could try really hard, and I would never be good at it. I know I could be better. Everyone could be better at it, but I could never be a good singer. I could be adequate. It's just not a gift I have. I just don't have that. So if that really bothers me, that's more of a bad, like, even though I'm not a good singer, I completely love and accept myself. Instead of saying, even though I'm an adequate singer, and it's embarrassing to admit that, I think that would more fall into the category of bad, because there's an attachment and a judgment against it as opposed to a judgment of being good at it. It's a distinction, and if it helps you put it in good category, that's fine too. But that's just how I would categorize it, Debbie, if that helps you at all. But you can totally do it this way as well. It doesn't really matter, because in the end, you're still tapping on the same thing. Then her next one is knowing that she's good at something but feeling resistance because she doesn't really want to be good at it. And I thought this was a really good distinction, because she used the example of being smart. So when she was young, she was really smart, and it set her apart. It made her different from everybody else, and so she didn't enjoy it. So now she's happy that she's smart, but she still has that childhood memory of it being a bad thing, of being negative, and she would actually sabotage her grades at times so she could feel normal. So there could be some resistance in being good at something because it has negative consequences. So that's a very good point. And you can see if there's maybe negative consequences to being good at something or acknowledging a good in you, if other people might judge you or you'll feel left out or unlikable or something like that. And then her fourth one is superficial qualities that distract from bad qualities. So an example could be being attractive, being good at sports, or being rich. So if you're attractive and people's like, oh, you're so beautiful, but you're like, but you don't even know the inner me. So, yes, I can acknowledge I'm pretty, but it's just a smokescreen, and you don't really know all these bad qualities inside of me. And the same thing with being good at sports or being wealthy, that you think it's a distraction, and so you don't even really want to be good at it because it distracts from people getting to know the real you. And you think it's not something you really deserve recognition for, because especially with being attractive and being good at sports, that's usually an innate born ability. And so you might have some resistance to owning something that was a God-given gift. Now, the thing I would like to mention on that is if you are given a God-given gift, almost all of us are, okay? Anything that you're good at, there is some natural talent. Very few people are bad at something and then become very good at it without any natural talent. So say you are smart, for example, that is a natural talent. Now, you may have worked hard and studied, and that was to get good grades, okay, to pass tests, to get an education, which is a little different than being smart. It didn't mean that you were, because I'm sure many of us know smart people that got bad grades because they didn't try hard. So I would put a distinction between those, someone who can get good grades and someone who's smart. So if you can value being smart, I think you definitely should value being attractive or being athletic, because even though that was a gift, you're honoring that gift by valuing it. And maybe you didn't work hard to deserve it, but it was still a gift, and gifts should always be honored, and we should always be grateful for gifts that are given to us. So hopefully that will help you, maybe help you break down your own resistance. Debbie, that might help you put a reframe on some of your resistance. But I thought that was a great email that Debbie, and that's not the first great email that she's written. So I appreciate her input. So let's see. Do we have any other questions? If you have a question about last week, hit star. You can do star 2 to raise your hand, or you can type it into the question and answer box on the website on the streaming page. But I don't see anything. I don't see any star 2s. So okay, let's get into this week, week 4. So like I said at the beginning of the class, when you love yourself, it doesn't make your life magical. It doesn't turn your life into a fairy tale. You don't suddenly, you're not suddenly a supermodel with, 5 homes and perfect children. Nothing really changes, although you will enjoy your life more because you have a lot less stress, a lot less judgment. But it doesn't transform life into perfection. It makes your enjoyment of life different and your quality of life different because of your mindset. And so what I like to do with this exercise is to get people to really see what life could be like if I love and accept myself. Because so many times, and with tapping, we do have to do this. We focus on the negative. With tapping, it's very important because we have to let go of the negative in order to make room for the positive. But when we're looking for a goal, when we're setting our sights on a goal, we can't set the goal of not something. Because if I said, okay, I want, I talked about this in the webinar before the course started. If I said I go to the island, it's not over there, there, or there. You still don't know where it is. If I can't tell you anything about the island, you have no idea how to get there. I can tell you what it's not, but that doesn't help you get to the island or understand or recognize the island any more than if nothing. You can just know, okay, I know it's not purple. Well, that doesn't help me find the island. So what this lesson is meant to do is help you define your personal island and what life is going to look like for you. And it's going to be a little different from everybody, for everybody. We'll all have some common themes, but we will have little nuances and ways that it shows up for us a little bit different. So I have filled out my own form just to help people, I can help you get some ideas around your form. So if you look on the worksheet, the Self-Love Destination Worksheet, so this is where we're headed on our adventure. And the first sentence is, when I get up in the morning, I feel, and then it's fill in the blank. So I want you to think about, if I really loved myself, how would I feel in the morning? So right now you might feel some stress, some dread, some sickness, some nausea, just, if there's something going on in your life, you just don't want to face it, people in your life that you don't want to face, boundaries that you haven't set, work that you have to do that you don't want to do and you wish you wouldn't if you just said no. There can be a lot of reasons why when we wake up in the morning we're not happy to be us. So what would life be like if you loved yourself? And you felt good about yourself, when you woke up in the morning, how would you feel? So that's what I want you to write in here. So, for example, I wrote, I would be interested in my life that day. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen today. Curious. I love curiosity because that's all part of an adventure when you're curious. What's going to happen today? Imagine you're in a different country and you're exploring. Ooh, what am I going to see today? What am I going to eat today? What's going to be fun today? Well, the same thing when you are in a state of self-love is you're curious about how your life is going to unfold. There's no judgments like, oh, I bet I'm going to screw this up. There's no, rats, I wish I could just go back to bed. It's more the positive, which is what I want you to write in the sentence, is, how would you feel? So I wrote down I would feel interested in my life, which that's actually pretty true. I would feel in control that I've chosen this life, okay? So I may have some things I don't particularly want to do, like take out the trash, but in the end, I know I chose it because I choose to not have a house full of garbage. So I know I choose to take out the trash. So I can always reframe it into, yes, these things are of my choosing. If you have a family, yes, there may be a lot of work getting kids ready, taking them places, but you chose to have a family and you're there because you want to. Now, if you're in a situation that you have not chosen, then you get to choose your reactions. You get to choose your emotions that day. Okay, so maybe you're going to want to work towards a life that you is of your choosing, but in the meantime, you can choose your reactions to that day and how you're going to feel. So those could be some examples of what you might want to put for when I get up in the morning. The next question, when stressful things happen, I feel, and you'll notice that I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the word feel because we really want to get in touch with the energy of the emotions that are in us. Okay, so it's not what do you do when stressful things happen, how do you feel? So, for example, I put down, I feel like I'll figure it out. I'm gonna be okay with it, I'll get through it, I'll figure it out, and I'm gonna move on. And that this, oftentimes with stressful situations deal with other people, that it's not about a judgment on me. It's just about what's going on, it's independent of who I am. It doesn't reflect on me as a person. So it's a detachment from the stress and from the events. So that's how I feel when I have a stressful situation. Now I have to remind myself to feel this way sometimes. Today actually has been a pretty stressful day. There's a lot going on and a lot of technical issues today, like 10. So that is always stressful to me because I don't always feel in control of technical issues, okay? So I have to remind myself, I'll get through it, I'll get it done, I will make it happen, and I will learn from it and move on. Okay, so that's how I choose to feel when stressful things happen. So how would you feel when stressful things happen? You know, what resource, do you feel you're resourceful? Do you feel that you can get through it, you can figure it out? I mean, after all, you figured it out this far. So you really do have a lot of resources, whether you recognize it or not. And that could be some more information that you could put down in week 3, the accepting the good. Then we go into when I need to make a decision, I. Okay, so here, this is where I really like to see people trusting themselves. Okay, now I'm not telling you what to write down for your answer, but I would like to put that idea out there, that you trust yourself to make a good decision, that you trust your inner guidance. Okay, so that you listen to your body, to what you are feeling and hearing and seeing and how the energy in your body relates to that decision. For some people, that's a snap, quick thing. Some people, it takes a little bit longer, but however it works for you, if you really can trust yourself to make good decisions, this really opens up a lot in life, if you can trust yourself to make good decisions. And I completely believe that every single one of you can make great decisions if you can listen to your inner guidance and trust yourself and then stop, not second guess yourself, but go with your inner guidance. I believe that that will always lead you. Now, it may not be the result that you want, but it can still be a good decision, which is two separate things when you detach from the outcome. That's another part of making good decisions. So that's kind of what I like to put in when I need to make a good decision. So if that helps you brainstorm some ideas for yourself, I would just recommend as we're talking here, make some notes, and then you can go back and fill this in. And you may have already filled this in, and you don't even need me to walk you through this. It may all made perfect sense. But for a lot of people, they like to hear examples of what someone could put there and explain it a little bit. So that's what this is for. And then we will get to the tapping as well. So a little later on. When I make a mistake, so this is a big one, okay, because people without self-love, when they make a mistake, boy, do they beat themselves up. Boy, do they call themselves every name under the book, in the book, and just really act like they it's all on them, okay? So when you make a mistake and you have self-love, how do you react to that? I like to acknowledge it's okay to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody will continue to make mistakes. You're going to make a mistake tomorrow. Everyone, it's just, there's no way around it. So being upset that we made a mistake is like being upset that you were breathing because you just don't have a choice. You're going to make mistakes. And if you can learn from them, figure out why they happened, and then say, especially just be, you know what, I love you anyway. And there's often a lot of reframes that we can do with mistakes. So some people don't even believe in the word mistake because they think every single thing we do, however we end up doing it, is the right way to do it at that moment. It may be because we need to learn lessons, and we have to keep doing, maybe we make the same mistakes over and over because we haven't learned our lesson yet. It needs to give us a wake-up call. There's all kinds of ways that mistakes can actually end up being a great blessing. However, when we make them at the time, it often feels kind of yucky. So this is what I'm asking about. How do you feel about them? Like, oh, won't do that again. Okay, I learned. I need to trust this or do that or do more of this or less of that. And I'm ready to make my next mistake in whatever area that is. So think about how you would feel about yourself when you make a mistake. And I think this is such a good place to start with self-love, is acknowledging mistakes, loving yourself through them, learning from them, and moving on. If you can do that, that's going to be a big, big piece of self-love. Then we have when I do something well. Okay, so as we talked about last week, a lot of us have a hard time acknowledging that we're good at anything. And like Suzanne, for example, thought she was pulling the wool over everyone's eyes that she was a good business person. And so when you do something well, how are you going to act? Are you going to acknowledge it, celebrate it, feel good about it? Really let yourself own having done something well. Because someone without self-love, they will tend to deflect, dismiss, detract things so that they don't ever really get to celebrate it. Now, they might celebrate something really big like a promotion, but the point is there's lots of little things that we can celebrate. And when we make a habit of feeling good about things as we do them, it's a self-perpetuating cycle. So the more that we celebrate and feel good about things, the more we will find things to celebrate and feel good about. So this is also a really good place to start. It might even be, well, I don't know which ones. I'd probably start with the mistakes if I just had to pick one and acknowledging and letting ourselves feel okay about making mistakes. And this would probably be my second one, is celebrating as many things as possible. In fact, when I work with my one-on-one clients, the first part of every session is to talk about wins. And I always have to tell them this does not have to be a big win, a big celebration, something huge that happened. This could be something small. It could be something as small as, I took a walk 3 times last week. I feel really great about that. Good, let's celebrate that. It could be, I'm trying to remember, I took one yesterday that was what she said was really small, but it was actually really, really important in her development. And I can't remember what it was. Shoot. But, you know, maybe she cooked herself dinner for the first time in 2 weeks and had just been eating out. That can be a win. There can be lots of little wins. And when we really allow ourselves to feel good about those small things, it overflows into all areas of our lives. So that's a fun one. Okay, now this is a big one. When someone else needs me, I help accept win. Okay, so one of the things about really nice people, and often really nice people struggle with self-love, is that they can't say no. They help everybody. And I recognize that you enjoy helping people. I don't want you to stop helping people or feeling good about being a good person. But there's times when you need to pick and choose when that is, when that works for you. So I don't recommend just saying no more often, because I'm certain that you feel really good about helping other people and enjoy that feeling of feeling good about helping other people. However, recognizing your boundaries is also a very important part of this. And this will feed into all other areas of your life, because a lot of times we feel stress because we're helping other people that we could have said no to, and then that creates stress in our lives. Or we don't help them as well as we should, or we feel bad, for them. So there's a lot that goes into helping other people that can detract from our self-love. So it's a really good idea to get some clear boundaries on when you're going to help other people. Some examples are, I will help people except when it's going to come at the expense of my self-care, my self-love, my life, or my loved ones. So if you're having to sacrifice you may not want to do it. Now, I'm not saying you're never going to sacrifice. And by sacrifice, I don't mean you're going to miss your television show if you go pick the person up at the bus stop. I mean something, you know, much more important. Are you going to, you know, if you made a commitment to your spouse to clean the house and then you decide to go help your friend move that same day, is that going to be to the harm of your loved ones? Or should you really be spending your time doing what you committed to doing? Okay, so maybe that's not the greatest example because people don't generally move that often. But, you know, maybe you said you would go help your friend paint his basement. So what do you have that you need to take care of for yourself or for your loved ones or commitments that you already made? And what are you going to be giving up in order to help somebody? That's one example. When enables bad behavior. So if you know that you've helped them and by keep continuing to help them, they are going to continue to be able to do something that's harmful for them or not change their behavior to a way that's more helpful for their life, then maybe that's when you say no. You know, and you can, that's a whole other conversation about how to say no. But if when you get clear on your boundaries around helping people, that can really help protect your own self-love. Another one is I'm going to help people who I know I can count on. Okay, so if you have that friend that always asks for help but never gives any help, then guess what? The next time they ask for help, if it's convenient, you know, maybe you want to. And if it's not, you say no because you can't count on them. And why should you be giving, giving, giving when you never get the chance to receive? Now, that's not always the case. Sometimes people can't give because of circumstances, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person that is completely capable of being helpful in giving towards you but only takes. They're a taker all the time. So if that's the case, maybe that's a time you say no until you feel that it's more equal and balanced. Another one would be I will feel good about helping them even if I'm not expecting a certain outcome. So sometimes we help people with kind of an agenda. If I do this for them, then X is going to happen or Y is going to happen or they're going to do X, Y, or Z. So if you feel like completely detached from the outcome and you want to help them, great. But if you're doing it for a specific reason, in order to not manipulate, but in order to get something that you personally want from them or for them, then that might be a time you want to say no. Because that's not the giving isn't is a little less more complicated when you give under those situations. Now again, I'm not making blanket stereotype rules here for helping people, but this is I put this on here because this is a big chunk for people who take this course and who have self-love issues. They can't say no. They want to help everybody. Oftentimes they can have the capacity to help a lot of people, but they often do it at the expense of themselves. So if you can get this part under control and get really clear what helping others from the perspective of self-love is, then that will really help your adventure, and get you to your destination. So give that some thought. And then the last question, I have these regular habits to take care of myself, okay? And I specifically put in here, these are not paid habits like mani-pedi or massage, a facial. Those are nice things, and of course I love them too, but those are things that, you know, certainly not everyone can afford and maybe not as often as they'd like. There's a lot of other smaller habits and free habits that we can all, not all of us because it's different for every one of us, but that we can put down, that we can write down in order to take care of ourselves and do that from a place of self-love. It could be getting enough sleep. But if we value our bodies and our health and we really love ourselves, if we can reframe getting sleep into a pattern of self-love and acknowledge that each time we go to bed, I'm taking care of myself right now, that energy can build on itself. So that could be an example. Getting some exercise, some movement every day, eating salads or something healthy, whatever that is for you, meditation, journaling, any kind of process that keeps you in touch with yourself. Doing this course is awesome, obviously. Tapping, of course, I'm going to say tapping, is a great habit to have. It's a self-love habit because you are really taking care of yourself. And just to reiterate, even though I've said it 100 times, remember, when you come from a place of self-love, you are able to give on a much greater level than you can when you come from a lack. So yes, you may help less people because you're taking care of yourself, but the quality of love and the quality of energy that you give out onto the world on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, will be greater when you come from a place of self-love. And we really need that in this world. So, yes, and you may think, I'm still starting to feel a little selfish. Please don't, because we're getting you to a place that you even can contribute more from this place of self-love than you can just by helping everyone as much as you can until you run yourself ragged. So just wanted to throw that in there. I know I've kind of hit that one pretty hard, but I like to remind people of that regularly because it is such a hot button for a lot of people. So that's kind of the questionnaire. If you have other questions or other vision of how you would feel, how you would react, what kind of resources you would have, some people like to write about self-confidence and self-belief in more detail and what that would look like and feel like, then please do. This just is a questions that will help you get started, but please write as much as you would like, as much as would help you really focus in on the way you would like. Now, we're going to talk about it in lesson six, but this paper you're definitely going to want to keep because this is going to keep you locked into your destination of where you're going. And this is also can be updated, changed, whatever you need to do as you continue on your journey. This is not write it in cement and you're done. This is where you're going. No changing. You can definitely change it up and add to it and tweak it and, you know, whatever you want to do to make it feel just like, oh, this is the right place. This is home for me. So let's see if we have any questions. Star 2 for questions. Let's see, nobody doing star 2, and nobody wrote in any questions. Okay, so let's get to the tapping. So once you have your document written, and for the tapping, I know some of you haven't listened to, didn't have a chance to do this in advance, so just pick one sentence, and imagine, just say that sentence out loud. So for example, it could be, I'm going to go back to my examples here. So the sentence could be, it's okay to make a mistake. Ugh, how much tension is around that? No, not really okay, because I'm supposed to be perfect. So maybe that's a 7 for you. I want it to be okay to make a mistake, but I don't really feel like it is okay to make a mistake. So how much resistance do you have to that sentence being true? That's how we're going to tap on this week's lesson. So if you go to table A, you're going to write in the sentence. So it's okay to make a mistake. Then you're going to write in, just like we've done with all the previous weeks, your resistance to that statement being true. And you're going to write in as many statements that have a charge. Now, you may write, like, I get enough sleep. Okay, well, I have no resistance to getting enough sleep, so I don't even need to write that down because it's a 0. So only write the ones down because you're going to have a lot of statements. I don't want you to have to write them all down. Just write the ones that have some resistance to it, and then you're going to rate them on the scale of 0 to 10. And you're going to pick the highest one, and if they're tied, you're going to pick whichever one you want to start with first that is among the highest, and you're going to take that down to table 4B. And you're going to write in your statement, so it could be, it's okay for me to make a mistake. And then you're going to feel, you write down the emotions that come up when you say that sentence, it's okay for me to make a mistake. So the emotions could be anxiety, because that's not true. It could be panic. It could be disbelief. It could be shock. Something like it just feels so wrong. You know, it doesn't, I know I've given you the list of emotions, negative emotions in the introduction part of the workbook, but feel free to write things down that aren't technically emotions. So maybe disbelief is not an emotion, but if that really describes how you feel, then write it down. So it doesn't have to technically be a world-recognized emotion. It can just be something that describes it for you. Because what you want is a connection to the description so that when you're doing the tapping, you're really connected to the energy. So you're going to write down your emotions, And then again, how intense is that emotion? How much disbelief do you feel? How much panic do you feel at accepting your mistakes? And you're going to write your number, 10 being super high anxiety, 0 being none. And then we're going to do the same thing. Now, this week, we're going to do a little different. I'm going to teach you a different technique called the choices method. So one of the goals with this course, of course, is obviously the self-love, but also is to get you very comfortable with tapping and know a few different techniques, more than just the basic tapping. So we've already learned where do I feel it in my body. We've learned how to clear a memory. And then this is going to be the other technique we're going to learn, which is the choices method. And this one's pretty fun. A lot of people like it. I don't like to teach it straight away because some people want to skip right to it because they love concentrating on the positive. But as we've talked about, we really need to clear the negative in order to get to the positive, in order to make space for the positive. So the way the choices phrases works, and so you say, even though I used to feel, so what you're doing is putting this feeling that you have currently in the past, and so it's already gone. Okay, so it's like a little game you play with your mind, like, oh, that's how I used to feel. I'm just going to put it in the past. Even though I used to feel panicked about being okay with making mistakes, so you're going to put your emotion in the first column, and we're in 4C now, or in the first blank, and then about, then you're going to put your statement, which is I'm okay with making mistakes. And then you're going to choose how you would like to feel about making mistakes instead, or being okay with making mistakes instead. So I choose to feel surprisingly, and we put the surprisingly in because as you'll see when you start tapping, you just can't imagine feeling that way, and so it feels really weird to say you feel that way. But if you put in the word surprisingly, you're acknowledging that weirdness and kind of canceling it out. And you'll see how it goes when we go through the tapping. So I choose to feel surprisingly calm about it instead. Or I choose to feel surprisingly peaceful about it instead. I choose to feel surprisingly accepting instead. I choose to feel surprisingly light about it instead. So whatever you want to feel when you think about being okay with making mistakes, however you would like to feel about it, that's what you're going to write at the end. So we're changing the end half of the sentence. So instead of saying I completely and deeply love and accept myself, we're going to say I choose to feel surprisingly blank about it instead. And that's up to you what you want to put in that end sentence. So it's kind of a fun one. I use this one a lot, especially when there isn't a negative, but I just want to create a positive. So I may use this on the way to an event or a party. Even though I don't know if I'm going to have a good time, I choose to have the best time ever. Okay, so I choose to meet really great people, or I choose to have great conversations. So I'll use the I choose to get myself in the emotional, energetic state of where I want to be. Now, with this one, the reason I'm using choices in this one is, one, I wanted you to learn it, and two, because we are talking about where you want to be. The I'm okay with mistakes is where you want to be, so it kind of is linked together. So I hope that makes some sense, and now I want to get to some tapping. Now, it looks like, okay, Heather, you are still on the line, so that's great, so I'm going to start with you, and then I think Lindsay might be on the line. So I'm going to get to you, Lindsay, too. I don't know if you want to volunteer or not. I know you wanted to volunteer last week, and I think you got the time wrong or something. You came on at the very, very end. You do have star 2. Okay, so that's good. You do want to volunteer. Great. Okay, so I already, before you got on the line, I already told Heather I would take her. So we're going to start with her, and then I'm going to get to you, Lindsay. And we'll definitely do you both. So I'm going to, Heather, I'm going to take you off mute.
Are you there?
Yep. Yeah. How are you doing?
Oh, you can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, I thought I had to press star 2 or something like that.
Okay. No, that just lets me know that you raised your hand. It like puts this little hand next to you. But I can just unmute you myself. Oh. So, Heather, I don't think, did you get the workbook ahead of time?
Yeah, I got the one for this one. Mom faxed it to me. So I got,
okay,
like, for this class, you know, for today.
for today. Great. So did you have any specific one of the sentences on the worksheet, on the destination worksheet, that you felt particularly like, yeah, this is really important for me?
Well, I mean, I just got it at the last second, so I think it's all of it out, but I did do the mistake one.
Okay, great.
Like when I make a mistake.
How would you like to feel when you make a mistake?
I would like to feel calm because usually I get into a really bad panic and then the mistake gets worse and worse. Like, but I wrote down, I feel stupid, angry, and anxiety.
Okay, so now do you feel stupid when you think about being okay with mistakes, with being calm? Does that make you feel stupid?
No.
To be calm? Okay, so say the sentence, I feel calm when I make mistakes.
I feel calm when I make mistakes.
Okay, and if how crazy does that sound? With zero sounds, yeah, that's perfectly normal. I always feel calm when I make mistakes. And 10 be, oh, my God, nothing could be further from the truth. I never feel calm when I make mistakes.
I would say it's like an 8. I don't know when I say it.
Okay, so it's an eight level of resistance on feeling calm. Now, when you say, I feel calm when I make mistakes, and that gives you that 8 feeling, how would you describe that 8 feeling? What kind of emotions does it stir up into you? Is that where the panic comes in?
Yeah, like I get anxiety, and then I get out of my body, like I'm not grounded. I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm somewhere else in my mind. And so that's why I make mistakes a lot until it gets worse.
Okay, so panicked, anxiety, and out of and ungrounded. Does that sound okay? And there may be more, and that's fine, but we're going to start with those. So I want you to say, I feel panicked about being calm about my mistakes. And how true does that feel, that panic? How high is that panic?
Okay, you want me to say I feel panicked when I try to feel calm?
Yeah, some kind of panic,
Okay, I feel panic when I try to be calm.
Mm-hmm.
But that would how be, high is that?
Yeah, how high is that number for you? How much panic
probably,
do you feel?
That's probably feels worse. I mean, like, it just, like, 8 or 9 maybe.
Okay. And what about anxiety? How much anxiety do you feel about just thinking you could feel calm about making mistakes?
An 8.
An 8? Okay. And how ungrounded do you feel when you think about the possibility of being calm?
Oh, when I think about the possibility of being calm?
Mm-hmm.
How grounded?
Ungrounded. I wrote down ungrounded. So how out of your body do you feel?
I think about being home. I feel kind of like a 7 or 8 because I feel like that. I don't know how to do that.
Okay.
So it gives me anxiety because...
Because it seems so crazy, right, that you could ever feel calm about making mistakes because it seems so different from anything you've ever experienced, right?
Yeah, because it's so automatic, you know. It just goes there without me even thinking.
Yeah, so perfect. So that's exactly why we're doing this, because we can have this idea of how we'd like to feel, but it feels so foreign. It's like I would just say, you know, hey, just, you know what, when you make a mistake, just start speaking French. And you're like, I have no idea how to do that. I don't know how to.
So that's funny. That's
how it feels. So that's why we're going to tap on this, like, this is just crazy. This is insane. Yeah, it sounds great, but I have no idea how to do it. So we're going to tap on just this resistance, because if you have this resistance and this disbelief that it could ever happen, then it's really hard to get there. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to help you believe that you could can actually speak French. We're going to tap so that you can feel that this is definitely a possibility of how life could be when you get there.
Okay.
So great. That's a perfect. You are the perfect example and reason why we need this lesson. Okay. So we're going to start with panicked because that was your highest number. That was a 9.
Yeah.
So now, I think in this specific situation, we've already identified that you want to feel calm. So we're just going to use that one in the choices method and calm because we already know that that's your desired state. So so go ahead and repeat after me, tapping on the side of your hand. Even though I feel panicked about being calm.
Even though I feel panicked about being calm.
When I make mistakes.
When I make mistakes.
I choose to feel surprisingly calm instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly calm instead.
Good. So I'm going to say that twice more. Even though I feel panicked about the idea.
Even though I feel panicked about the idea.
Of feeling calm when I make mistakes.
Of feeling calm when I make mistakes.
I choose to feel surprisingly calm instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly calm instead.
Good. So one more time. Even though I feel panicked about the idea.
Even though I feel panicked about the idea.
Of feeling calm when I make mistakes.
Feeling calm when I make mistakes.
I choose to feel surprisingly calm instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly calm instead.
Good. Okay, so now we're going to tap through the points. So starting with your eyebrow.
Yeah.
All of this panic.
All of this panic.
Side of your eye. I just can't imagine feeling calm.
I just can't imagine feeling calm.
Under your eye. I feel panicked at the thought of it.
I feel panicked at the thought of it.
Under your nose. It just feels so impossible.
It feels so impossible.
Chin, I've never felt calm before.
I've never felt calm before.
Collarbone. It's just automatic to feel panic.
It's just automatic to feel panic.
Side of your, under your arm. I would like to feel calm.
I would like to feel calm.
Top of your head, but I just don't know how.
But I just don't know how.
Eyebrow. I always go to panic.
I always go to panic.
Side of your eye. And then everything gets worse.
And then everything gets worse.
Under your eye, which leads to more panic.
Which leads to more panic.
Under your nose. And that's what I'm used to.
And that's what I'm used to.
Chin. That's what's normal for me.
That's what's normal for me.
Collarbone. So for sure it feels crazy to think of feeling calm.
For sure it feels crazy to think of feeling calm.
Underarm. But maybe I could be open to it.
But maybe I could be open to it.
Top of your head. Maybe it is possible to feel calm.
Maybe it is possible to feel calm.
Eyebrow. I don't know what it feels like right yet.
I don't know what it feels like right yet.
And side of your eye, but I'm open to the idea that I could begin to feel that way.
But I'm open to the idea that I could begin to feel that way.
Under your eye, I'm open to the idea of one day feeling calm.
I'm open to the idea of one day feeling calm.
Under your nose, I'm open to the idea of feeling just a tiny bit of calm.
I'm open to the idea of refusing just a tiny bit of
calm.
Of calm.
Chin. I recognize my panic.
I recognize my panic.
Collarbone. And maybe that's my first step.
Maybe that's my first step.
Under your arm, feeling calm about being panicked.
Feeling calm about being panicked.
Top of your head. Recognizing, hey, I'm feeling panicked right now.
recognizing, hey, I'm feeling panicked right now.
Eyebrow. Thinking, okay, today I feel panicked.
Thinking, okay, today I feel panicked.
Side of your eye. That can be my first step.
That can be my first step.
Under your eye. Awareness of my panic.
Awareness of my panic.
Under your nose. I can feel calm within my awareness.
I can feel calm within my awareness.
Chin. I choose to be open to the idea of calmness.
I choose to be open to the idea of calmness.
Good. Okay, so take a deep breath. Okay, now I want you to go ahead and say, I feel panicked about the idea of feeling calm.
I feel panicked about the idea of feeling calm.
Okay, and what's your number on that?
I think 5 or 6. I feel
okay,
like... I feel like I could go to a different place in my mind, maybe, and not go into the bad place.
Okay, good. So it's just, it is a process. Like, I'm not going to say, okay, starting tomorrow, you have to feel calm. It's just baby steps. So your first step could be the awareness of the panic. And then your second step is I'm going to just feel calm for 5 seconds, and then I get to panic. And then maybe you can just let your calm feel a little bit calm for a little bit longer and then let yourself feel your panic again. And so you're not ripping this normal of panic out from under your feet forever. You're just saying, I still get to do it, and I'll let myself feel a little bit of calm, just for a short, what's comfortable for me.
Yeah.
And as you practice that, you're probably going to want to feel calm more often. You know, you're going to think, oh, that actually feels a lot better, so I'm going to do more and more calm. But you'll still have your times of panic. You know, that happens to everybody. So just getting used to the idea that that's a possibility for you would be your first step. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, cool. So I think this is a really, really good lesson. I know they're all good, but I think for you, like, the possibility of where you could, of what life could be like if you, you know, were even just had 10% more self-love and acceptance than you do now is a little bit, is scary for you because it's so foreign. So
yeah,
the more you can get, you know, used to the idea and envisioning the idea of what it could be like, you know, the easier it is going to be to get there.
Yeah, I even feel like really guilty when I'm thinking of loving myself, you know?
Right, okay, yeah. And that would be the first, and I know your mom told me that that very first session. So for some people, that feeling the guilt, we talked about that in the webinar and then in the first session, and they didn't need to do that first session. But for some people like you, there's a lot of guilt because they think they're unworthy, they don't think they deserve it. So that could be, you know, you're going to want to go back to that lesson a lot. Maybe spend a good week or two on covering that. Then go through the rest, and you're probably going to need to keep coming back to that because that might be the big one for you.
That one was really great for me. I mean, when I first heard all that, it was...
Yeah, because I had one person write in and say, I didn't need it. And I'm like, that's great, you didn't need it, and definitely other people also need it. And other people may not, you know, need another one more than you need it. And that could just be your big one. And that's going to be true for everyone. You're going to have your lesson or two that's going to really, really resonate with you. The woman who wrote in earlier, it was probably week 3 that was the hardest for her. So, it changes up. But you're definitely going to want to go back and revisit lesson 1 some more. And I think this one might be more fun for you because it's just it's like using your imagination, you know, to describe a place you've never been before. And, you know, what could that look like? So that could be a fun exercise for you. So are you going to be able to be on some more live calls? Because I do want to get to Lindsay.
I have to go in about 5 to 10 minutes.
But I mean like next week or the week after that?
Oh, yeah, I can do that every week.
Okay, great. Okay, so hopefully we'll be able to tap with you some more since I'm going to try to do 2 people this this week. Because I do want to get in as many people live as I can. So, but thank you, Heather, and I you really are like you're perfect. You're such the perfect student for this class. I'm so glad you're taking it. So
well,
thank you for
participating. Well, thank you. I appreciate you letting me have the chance to take this class.
You are welcome. Okay, I'm going to put you on mute, and then just 1 second, I'm going to unmute you, Lindsay.
Okay.
Lindsay?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you now. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
Good, good. I'm glad that you could join us. And hopefully, like I said, with Heather, we'll be able to hopefully get you in on another call as well. So were you able to look at the workbook before the class?
Yeah, I did. I filled in the worksheet, and then I have a few vision statements that make me uncomfortable and also some feelings around those.
Great.
Statements.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So which ones, tell us which ones make you uncomfortable.
I would say some of the statements around when I need to make a decision are the biggest ones that have come up for me. And it's been kind of an issue in my life in general. I consider myself a very, indecisive person, and I see all possibilities, and I get overwhelmed with possibilities and ideas that it's hard for me to commit to a decision.
Okay. Do you get a gut instinct and then second guess yourself, or do you just not get any indication whatsoever?
I think I have a strong intuition, but when it comes to decisions, I get my wires crossed. So yeah, as I've worked on it, and I have gotten better over the years, my intuition will tell me what decision is best. But I think I have a pattern of doubting my decision, and then I go back and forth. So,
okay, and is that after you've made the decision or before you've ever made it that you go back and forth?
Before I've ever made it.
Okay.
So
what did you write down of what your vision is of how you would like it to be?
Okay. Well, I wrote, when I need to make a decision, I surrender and detach from the outcome. And
okay.
I realized that the divine supports me in all my ways, and so I can basically help detach myself from outcomes by just sending love to whatever happens from my decision.
Okay.
So when I make a decision, I feel grounded, I feel confident, and I feel clear.
Okay. Okay, I just like to write these down. Okay, so surrender, detach from the outcome, feel grounded, confident, and clear. I mean, I know there was a little bit more to it, but that's like the gist of it.
Yeah. And then I really liked what you said. I trust my inner guidance to make a good decision.
What
I wrote down. I wrote down that one.
Okay,
also.
You like that one too. Okay, trust inner
guidance.
Okay. Now, when you say that, though, it makes you uncomfortable.
Yes. Well,
okay, so
actually, what makes me uncomfortable is the thought that came up, and when I had kind of like an instinctual thought was, I don't know how to make decisions, which is silly, and I think it's like a limiting belief, but it's there from somewhere. Maybe it's my past, or maybe it's just what I told myself, you know. Maybe that's my negative self-talk, but that was kind of like an instant thing.
Okay.
So I tapped on, I wrote that down, and that made me uncomfortable at about a 7.
Okay, so that's kind of, it's like doubt, it's self-doubt that you could actually do that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so that's like at a level of 7. So we'll use, does the word doubt, is that, because I you cut out for a second when you said what you wrote down, but what word did you write down?
Yeah, I wrote down, I wrote down a few, and
okay, what are they?
The first one was embarrassed. Like, I feel embarrassed even saying that.
Okay.
I feel embarrassed admitting that.
Good.
I feel a little helpless because, you know, it's like, well, you can't make decisions, you can't do anything, so you're helpless. And I feel doubt. I feel doubt in my ability.
Okay, doubt. Okay. Okay, and how high is your embarrassed on a scale of 0 to 10?
I wrote an 8.
Okay, and how your helplessness?
Helpless is kind of it's kind of the same.
Okay.
And then doubt is about a 6.
Doubt is about a 6. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So let's just pick embarrassed.
Okay.
Okay. So your sentence, is going to be, even though I used to feel embarrassed about making good decisions or trusting my decisions, or how would you like to put it?
I kind of tapped on it like limiting belief, like even though I'm embarrassed that I don't know how to make decisions.
Okay. All right. You want to do it that way? That's cool. And
but
that's perfectly fine.
I'm totally open. That's
no, and if that's how you want to tap on it, I'm just giving you some options. So if one way works better for you, then definitely use the way that works best for you.
What's the other way that you would say, Amy?
Well, we kind of actually did go a tiny bit different direction, so it might be that works the best, because I think the emotions that you chose are about not being able to make decisions, which is different than how you would feel making good decisions. So the doubt would probably be more about making good decisions, and the embarrassed would be about not making good decisions. So since we chose embarrassed, then we'll do it that way. So how would you choose to feel instead? If you, the choices doesn't really go. So you know what? Let's do doubt just because we are modeling
like
the choices
one.
Just so you can see how to use it. And it may not fit in every situation, but at least you'll know how. So even though I used to feel doubt that I can make good decisions, that would be your sentence. I choose to feel surprisingly what instead? How would you like to put it?
I would like to feel grounded, confident, and clear.
Okay.
For me, grounded, I don't know if the another word for confident that's better than confident. Empowered. How about empowered?
Empowered, okay.
Yeah.
Empowered and clear. Okay, so let's use that. So even though I will lead you through it. So tapping on the side of your hand, even though I used to feel doubt about making good decisions.
Even though I used to feel doubt about making decisions.
I choose to feel surprisingly grounded, empowered, and clear. Let's just choose one. I choose it for right now. I choose to feel surprisingly grounded instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly grounded instead.
Good. Even though I used to feel doubt about making good decisions.
Even though I used to feel doubt about making good decisions.
I choose to feel surprisingly grounded instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly grounded instead.
Once more, even though I used to feel doubt about making good decisions.
Even though I used to feel doubt about making good decisions.
I choose to feel surprisingly grounded instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly grounded instead.
Good. Now, the first time that we go through this, I'm going to actually just completely model the choices method. Then I'm going to take you through it again and do the more freeform way. But I just want everyone to get clear on the alternating way you do choices. So when you do choices, you have the doubt on one side and you have the grounded on the other side. Okay, so you have your negative emotion and you have your positive emotion. So the first thing you do is you go through tapping all the one sequence, the one full sequence with the negative. Okay, so we're just going to use that word. So tapping on your eyebrow, this doubt.
This doubt.
Side of your eye, this doubt.
This doubt.
Under your eye, I doubt myself.
I doubt myself.
Under your nose, all of this doubt.
All of this doubt.
Chin, this doubt about making decisions.
This doubt about making decisions.
Collarbone, this doubt.
This doubt.
Under your arm, this doubt.
This doubt.
Top of your head, this doubt about making good decisions.
This doubt about making good decisions.
Good. Then you go through the same sequence, but this time you say just the positive. So, grounded.
Sorry.
Maybe on your eyebrow. Yeah, that's okay. On your eyebrow. Grounded.
Grounded.
Side of your eye. Feeling grounded about making good decisions.
Feeling grounded about making good decisions.
Under your eye. Feeling grounded.
Feeling grounded.
Under your nose. Feeling grounded about making good decisions.
Feeling grounded about making good decisions.
Chin. Feeling grounded.
Feeling grounded.
Collarbone. Grounded about my decisions.
Grounded about my decisions.
Under your arm. Feeling grounded about my decisions.
Feeling grounded about my decisions.
Top of your head. Feeling grounded about my decisions.
Feeling grounded about my decisions.
Okay, now in the third round, the last round, we alternate. So we go negative, positive, negative, positive. And we want to end on the positive. So wherever you end, just if you're on the negative, just do one more tapping and go positive, just so that you end on the positive. So starting with your eyebrow, all of this doubt.
All of this doubt.
Side of your eye, feeling grounded.
Feeling grounded.
Under your eye, doubt about decisions.
Doubting about decisions.
Under your nose, feeling grounded about decisions.
Feeling grounded about decisions.
Chin, feeling doubt.
Feeling doubt.
Collarbone, feeling very grounded about my decisions.
Feeling very grounded about my decisions.
Under your arm, all of this doubt.
All of this doubt.
Top of your head, feeling grounded about my decisions.
Feeling grounded about my decisions.
Okay, take a deep breath. Okay, now say your sentence. I feel doubt that I can make good decisions.
I feel doubt that I can make good decisions.
Okay, and what's your number now?
That's good. It's gone down a lot. I'd say like a three or a four.
Good. All right, so I'm going to call that a 3.5. great. So we're gonna do another round on that. And so that was a perfect example of how to do choices. So we did the setup statement, and then we did all negative, all positive, and then alternating negative and positive, ending on the positive. And we're gonna do the same thing now, but I'm just gonna do a little bit more freeform. We may end up doing more than one round of negative, but the idea is to clump the negative together and clump the positive together and then alternate. So we're going to do it again. Even though I doubt my ability to make good decisions.
Even though I doubt my ability to make good decisions.
I choose to feel surprisingly empowered instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly empowered instead.
Good. Even though I used to doubt that I could make good decisions.
Even though I used to doubt I could make good decisions.
I choose to feel surprisingly clear instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly clear instead.
Even though I used to doubt my ability to make good decisions.
Even though I used to doubt my ability to make good decisions.
I choose to feel surprisingly grounded instead.
I choose to feel surprisingly grounded instead.
Good. So now we're going to do some negatives. So starting with your eyebrow, I really doubt myself.
I really doubt myself.
Side of your eye. It's been a pattern my whole life.
Been a pattern my whole life.
Under your eye. I see so many possibilities.
I see so many possibilities.
Under your nose. And I can't decide which one's perfect.
And I can't decide which one's perfect.
Under your chin. So I freeze up.
So I freeze up.
Collarbone. I keep thinking about all the options.
I keep thinking about all the options.
Under your arm and put a lot of pressure on myself to make the perfect one, take the perfect one.
And I put a lot of pressure on myself to make the perfect one.
Top of your head. And so I doubt myself.
So I doubt myself.
Eyebrow, because I never know if it was perfect.
Because I never know what's perfect.
Side of your eye. Sometimes it feels good, but I never know if the other one was better.
Sometimes it feels good, but I never know if the other one was better.
Under your eye, and I never will know.
I'll never know.
Under your nose. And that kind of drives me crazy.
And that kind of drives me crazy.
10, because I want to have a definite answer.
Because I want a definite answer.
Collarbone, I want to know 100% that I made the only best decision.
I want to know 100% that I made the only best decision.
Under your arm, and I can never know that.
And I can never know that.
Top of your head. So I take a long time making decisions.
So I take a long time.
Under an eyebrow, and it feels embarrassing.
It feels embarrassing.
Side of your eye, and it just takes me forever.
And just takes me forever.
Good. Okay, so that was our negative. Now we're going to go on to the positive. So under your eye.
Can I just say something real quick, Amy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to bring up that, like, I felt this wave of panic come up when you started talking about that I'll never know the answer and that I can never know the perfect choice. And then it kind of went away, and then sadness came up, and now I'm feeling, like, good and ready for the next round.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that's usually why people can't make decisions is because it's impossible. You can't possibly know, but we'll get it. We'll keep tapping on it.
Okay.
Okay, so under your eye, I choose to feel empowered by my decisions.
I choose to feel empowered by my decisions.
Under your nose, knowing that I will never know.
Knowing that I will never know.
Chin, that life is an adventure.
Life is an adventure.
Collarbone, that I can just pick one thing and go with it.
That I can just take one thing and go with it.
Under your arm. And who knows what's going to happen?
And who knows what's going to happen?
Top of your head. It's all exciting.
It's all exciting.
Eyebrow. It's all the unknown.
It's all the unknown.
Side of your eye. And it's what I choose to do with my decision.
And it's what I choose to do with my decision.
Under your eye, because a decision isn't just a one-time thing.
Because the decision isn't just a one-time thing.
Under your nose, I'm constantly making decisions all day, every day.
I'm constantly making decisions all day, every day.
Chin, and I trust myself to steer in the right direction.
And I trust myself to steer in the right direction.
Collarbone, I trust all of my decisions to take me where I want to go.
I trust all of my decisions to take me where I want to go.
Side under your arm, no matter how I get there.
No matter how I get there.
Top of your head, no matter what the attractions are along the way.
No matter what the attractions are along the way.
Eyebrow, no matter what route I decide to take.
No matter what route I decide to take.
Side of your eye, there's so many options.
There's so many options.
Under your eye, and I feel empowered by choosing any one of them.
And I feel empowered by choosing any one of them.
Under your nose, I feel grounded just making a decision.
I feel grounded just making a decision.
Chin, knowing that I can move forward from there.
Knowing that I can move forward from there.
Collarbone, knowing that I can change my mind later if I need to.
Knowing that I can change my mind later if I need to.
Under your arm, as I get new information, I can make new decisions.
As I get new information, I can make new decisions.
Top of your head, I'm excited to make powerful decisions.
I'm excited to make powerful decisions.
Okay, so now we're going to alternate. So eyebrow, all of the self-doubt.
All the self-doubt.
Side of your eye, making powerful decisions.
Making powerful decisions.
Under your eye, all of this self-doubt and unknown.
All this self-doubt and unknown.
Under your nose, excited about all the possibilities.
Excited about all the possibilities.
Chin, all of this fear and self-doubt.
All of this fear and self-doubt.
Collarbone, excited about all the different paths I can take.
Excited about all the different paths I can take.
So under your arm, feeling fear and self-doubt.
Clearing fear and self-doubt.
Well, okay, that's mine too.
Oh, we're feeling
top
it?
Of your head. I said feeling fear and self-doubt.
Sorry.
That's okay. In the top of your head, knowing I can make my life whatever I want it to be.
Knowing I can make my life whatever I want it to be.
Okay, take a deep breath. Okay, now say your sentence again. I feel self-doubt when I make decisions.
I feel self-doubt when I make decisions.
Okay, what's your number?
You know, it's like a 2 or a 3.
Okay, good. So there's a little bit more to do there.
Yeah.
I would suggest doing the where do I feel it in my body technique, where do you feel that self-doubt, and then
okay.
Also it's not something bad, although you obviously, if you're embarrassed by it, you do think of it something bad. I would
go
back and do this from the perspective of week 2 of feeling bad about it, because maybe you take a little bit longer to make decisions than some people. Who cares? You know, maybe that's just who you are, and that's part of your nature, that you like to think about things for a while. And you're not like, bam, I make every decision in 1 second. So there can be, you know, it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. As long as you can move forward, you know, as long as you trust yourself to eventually move forward, then it can be just part of who you are. You're cautious, or you like to take your time.
Right. And I think it's more of like that feeling of panic and confliction that comes up that I want to work on. And I guess that the fear of making the wrong decision is kind of where it all comes up. So, it's not like a time thing, not like a clock on the clock thing, as much as I don't want to feel like, you know, just dread when
you made the wrong one.
And make a good decision. And it's more of the big decisions. Like, I'm really firm in, like, okay, you know, what brand of, you know, coconut oil do I buy or whatever? Like, what do I use? I'm fine with that. I can, like, decide on a menu in a second. But it's more of like, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to apply my talents to that, you know, serve the world and myself in the best way possible? And like, things like that. You know?
Okay. So I think you identified some really good places to tap. One other thing that I just like to bring out, this is what I do with one-on-one clients a lot, is I ask, when they're making a decision, what's the worst-case scenario? So it's kind of a fun thing. What's the worst that can happen if you make the decision and it doesn't work out? So, you know, a lot of times it's, I'm living in a van down by the river. You know, like that always ends up being the worst case. But most people are very rarely actually is that possible. There are people where that is possible. But for the most part, that's really not going to happen, because we have family or friends or somebody that would help us. Or we could always go back to another type of work that we used to do. Or, you know, maybe we're not going to be making a lot of money, but we won't be living in a van down by the river. So once you get clear with what the worst case scenario is, it takes a lot of the pressure off of making the perfect decision. And a lot of times, any decision you make ends up there. You know, so it kind of also takes the pressure off, because you realize any one of them can go wrong, and if it does, I can deal with it. So let's just pick one that feels the best right now and see what happens. And then if it doesn't work out, I'll pick another one. I'll just go a different direction. So, you know, and that's part of the confidence, the self-belief, that you can just, you know, you can keep going, that you have the resources to keep going. So that could be part of this whole week, as well as believing in yourself, that you have the resources, that you have the ability to figure things out and to change course when you need to, and to trust yourself. That could all be part of your vision for your self-love.
Okay. All right. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that was fun. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
I love doing this. Okay, so if anyone has any questions, let me know. I know we went a little bit over time, but that's fine. You know, hopefully it didn't affect anyone, or you can always listen to the replay as well. So thank you both, Heather and Lindsay, for being participants, and hopefully we will have you again to do some tapping together. And I'm sure we will. We still have 2 more weeks. So and also, anyone listening to this, if you're going to be, I know a good fair few of you cannot listen to the live call. Just is never going to happen. So if you have anything you specifically want me to tap through, I can do it without the echo, without the person on the other line. So send me, like, hey, I have this issue, I don't know how to tap on it. Send me a description, and I can lead the tapping live without you being on the call live. And then when you listen to the replay, hopefully it can help. Now, I probably have to ask you a couple questions in an email to get some clarification, but then I can definitely do at least some tapping live for you. So, but I appreciate those of you who have been on the call live so far, and actually all of you and all the great comments that I've been getting via email. So thanks again, and we'll talk to you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.